If you would, like Tim read earlier, if you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to continue on. This is our seventh week in the book of Ephesians. Last week we focused on dead people walking. Paul taught us that true spiritual and soul transformation comes from three things. The first, it comes from recognizing our dire condition without Christ. The second thing is that answering God's call to believe in Jesus and His works. We have to answer that calling from God. The Bible tells us that He calls each and every one of us that are saved. And lastly, embracing the new life He offers through His grace. Well, today, as time would have it, I don't do special messages typically for celebrations on the calendar, but today it just worked out really well. I titled the message today, Increasing Thankfulness Through Remembrance. Increasing our thankfulness through the vehicle of remembrance. It comes through verses 11 and 13. I have many things to be thankful for today. In this day, I have many things. I've named a few, but as I name a few of mine, I want to challenge you this morning, if we're talking about growing in our thankfulness, I want to challenge you to just take just a minute in your own hearts and in your own minds and think about some things that you're thankful for. The first thing that I'm thankful for in this world, and we're going to move to spiritual, is my family. God has blessed me so richly with my family. I've got to spend so many years with them and experience the love that they've given me, and I'm sure many of you could say the same things. The second thing that I'm thankful for is my health. Although it is changing, and I'm noticing little changes, and those that are growing older will say the same thing, I still have it. And I'm so blessed to have my health. And being in the world of health care, appreciating your health is sometimes a little easier because you see the struggle of those around you who are going through things. We have people in our church going through things. And tomorrow my day may be different, but today I have health. I can take a deep breath in my lungs, and I'm so thankful because I do believe that that's a gift from God, and I want to appreciate it without having to lose it. And then lastly, thanks to you guys, I have a dream job. This is my dream job. This is what God has called me to. And I'm thankful that I get to do it. And I say that with all my heart. I'm thankful that I get to be here today and share the Word of God with you. And so I'm thankful for that. In the spiritual realm, the first thing is salvation. I did not earn it. We're going to talk about that today. But I'm so thankful today that I stand here before you and confess that I am saved, that I believe in Jesus Christ, that I've been forgiven, that I've experienced His grace and His mercy. And He didn't have to do that. There's nothing I could do to earn it. But He gave it to me anyway, and I'm thankful for that salvation. The second thing spiritually that surpasses all understanding, amen? And although we're going to have things, and you may be going through things that are taking your peace in this world, it's always available when we turn back to God and ask for it. And it's only, true peace is only available through Him. And I have that peace this morning, and I'm thankful that I have it. Lastly, eternal security. If I die right now, we don't celebrate, but if I die right now, don't worry about me. There's no need to shed a tear. You can go into celebration because I'm with my Lord and Savior, the one who saved me. And I'm thankful for that, and I have peace in that. Am I rushing to the grave? No. But if I get there, and when I get there, and one day if the Lord tarries, I will, just know that I have eternal security that I live with each and every day. And that's possible for you today too. Although conscious of all these undeserved blessings, especially the spiritual ones, I struggle sometimes to continuously maintain a spirit of thanksgiving. Is anybody with me? Do we have moments where our thanksgiving, it's like the stock market. It goes up and it goes down, and sometimes our thanksgiving is just down. And one reason why I think, for me, I can't speak for you, of why when I notice that my thanksgiving is tanking, what it is, it usually is forgetfulness. It's because, simply, I have forgotten. I'm no longer remembering some things. But when I can keep those things that are so powerful on the table, my thanksgiving is there as well. And I think that's one of the reasons why Paul writes this text today, is to make sure that not that they, he wanted to take them there and put them in a cage and remember how horrible it was to be without God and remember how they lived when they were without God. I don't think it's not a method of punishment. It's a method to give them a motivation so that they can remember what they were, remember what they've been delivered from and where they are now. And in that remembrance of those things, they can have a spirit of thanksgiving, which ultimately brings glory to God who gives all gifts. And we're going to look at this in three different things today. I think God is glorified when we are thankful for His many gifts towards us, and we can be more thankful by remembering our lives before God called us and before we were saved. The first time we must remember is when you did not have the mark of God. We see it here in verse 11. It says, "Therefore remember that you formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands." Now, therefore is the first word, and in case you weren't here last week or the weeks before, we've got to understand what leads to the therefore. Two verses back in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, it starts in 8. The therefore is, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." That is the first part of the therefore. The second part is in verse 10. "Therefore, because we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them." We were created and equipped by God for a purpose in this life. That is the therefore. And because God has done these things for us, Paul gives an instruction. This will be the first of two. He says, remember. That's the very first word. It's a verb. Remember, to keep thinking about, to recall again. And then Paul wants the Ephesians to remember exactly what he wants them to keep thinking about. And it's in the past. Notice it says, formerly you. In your past is what I want you to remember. And the former thing specifically is that they were Gentiles in the flesh, or also termed the uncircumcision. Biblically, two groups of people exist, Jews or Gentiles. If you are of the family of Abraham and you have Jewish blood, you are a Jew. The rest of us, which I don't know all of your family lineage and different things, but I'm a Gentile. I would say 99 or 100% of us in here today are all Gentiles outside of the family of Abraham. God commanded the Jewish males to be circumcised and marked them with His covenant. You'll remember that back in Genesis 17:10. "This is My covenant, which you shall keep between Me and you and your descendants after you. Every male among you must be circumcised." That's the command that God gave the Jewish people, gave to Abraham to mark the Jewish people, His chosen people. But if you remember, the Jewish people slowly became prideful about this election of God, this undeserved choosing of God. And they turned people who were not Jewish to be uncircumcised Gentiles because they did not have the mark of God's covenant. They did not have that surgery that we don't have to go into detail about. Do you remember David when he fought Goliath? What did he term Goliath as? Was it a term of endearment? Well, let's read it. 1 Samuel 17:26. "Then David spoke to the men who were standing by him, saying, What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach of Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" Not a term of endearment, that's a term of slander, a look down upon. The uncircumcised, those outside of the covenant. But through Christ, God has allowed salvation to those born non-Jew. Amen. Can I get an amen? With 99 to 100% of the congregation being a Gentile, can I get an amen? Amen. How do we know this? Galatians 3:29. "And if you belong, believers, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to purpose. We have hope as Gentiles, but the hope is through Jesus Christ alone, through belief. Romans 2:29. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart, not by man, by the Spirit, not by the letter, not by the law. And his praise is not from men, but from God. Believers are now Jew, not Gentile, on the inside. It is Jesus Christ that allows us to be adopted as sons of God. Works of men, whether circumcision or baptism, or all, they cannot save you. The baptism doesn't save you. I can't save you as the baptizer. I don't save you. I have no power to save you. The water, it's the same water we drink out of the faucet. The water doesn't save you. Jesus Christ saves you. Faith, through faith in Jesus as the Son of God, the perfect life, the perfect sacrifice, the perfect obedience, the perfect resurrection, the perfect ascension. That's what saves us. This is a mark. This is obedience. I can't see who is saved in here today. I can look at you all day long. I'm thankful I can't. I'm especially thankful I can't when I'm out in the world, or maybe I wish I could. Maybe I would be a little more, have a little more fervor to share the gospel of God. But the baptism does allow me to see that you're saved if it's true. If you truly confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then that baptism is legit. And that baptism is a mark that I can witness with my eyes to see that you are a child of God. That you are a Jew in your heart, chosen, an heir of the kingdom. What do we do with this? To be thankful, we must continue to remember and reflect upon a couple of things. Number one, being outside of the walls of salvation of God. Being outside the city gates with no way to come in. That's where we were. That's where I were. That's where you hopefully are no longer. We're not outside the walls anymore. We're in there with God. Reflect upon being unable to change our status by our own power or will. It doesn't matter how strong you are. It doesn't matter how intelligent you are. There is nothing in and of your own power in your flesh that you can do. You cannot be saved. You cannot save yourself. We must remember that. And when we remember that it's not about us and it's what God did, how can you not be thankful? I couldn't do it. It leads to thanksgiving, but we must remember that it is His power. Thirdly, being called by God and given His grace. He called me. I remember when He called me. Do you remember when He called you? Do you remember when He made you aware of your sinfulness? When He made you aware of who Jesus Christ was? And He shined that light upon it for you to see it for what it was and believe for the first time. Do you remember? I remember when it didn't mean anything besides another Bible story and a picture up on the wall. It's not that way anymore. I got to remember, though, that I was there so that I can appreciate being where I am now. Lastly, being recipients of salvation and the hope. We have the hope. At one time, I was hopeless. If today, if you came in here and you're still hopeless, let's go to the other side where you have hope. And the hope is in Jesus Christ. But remembering when we were hopeless will help us appreciate being in the position of having hope now. Let every believer here remember our current hopeless state, or remember where we were in our current hopeless state, and to give thanks to God that we're no longer there anymore. The second thing we must remember in time in our life is when you were separated from Christ. Verse 12 says, remember again that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Again, Paul commands them to remember, the object to remember, that you were separate from Christ. A horrible position to be in. Every unbeliever lacks four important things in this verse. Number one, inclusion in the commonwealth of Israel, being in God's family, being God's children. That's the first thing. The second thing they do not have the covenants of promise, the covenants of God's promise to his people. And you say, well, what were the covenants? Well, I have one verse here. We could go, we don't have time, but I'm going to give you a little bit. In Jeremiah 31:33, it says, "But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them and on their heart, and I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people." So God gave Israel law and direction from life. We still have them, the Ten Commandments. God was their God. 2, 3, Israel was God's children. The third thing is a hope. What is hope? A looking forward to in confident expectation of receipt. Something that we know, we look forward to it, and we know that we are going to get it. And then lastly, most importantly, the fourth thing that they didn't have was God himself. They had no God. They had no leader. They had no sovereign power. It's a terrible place. The Jews held hope in God and God's promised Messiah or Christ. You see, they didn't have that. The Gentiles, the uncircumcised, they didn't know about nor have the hope that God had told them about, that he was going to send a Messiah. God was going to send Christ for them, for salvation, for forgiveness of sins. They didn't have it. They didn't even know about it. This is how the Jews knew about it. Jeremiah 23:5. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up from David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land." That's the promises that they had heard. That's the promise they knew about as children of Abraham. Secondly, Isaiah 11:1-5, a little bit of a lengthy verse, but it's a beautiful verse, and it also gives a picture of Jesus. It's undeniable. It's who it's written about. It says, "Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with his breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also righteousness will be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist." Is that not Jesus Christ? That is the Messiah that they look forward to. That is the Messiah that we worship and believe in and preach here today at Blount Springs Baptist Church. The Gentiles in these particular Ephesians had no knowledge of him, though. And when they didn't have knowledge of the Messiah and they didn't have a knowledge of the true God, what did they turn to? What are people turning to today? What have you turned to? You're either going to turn to yourself like an atheist and worship you, because that's really what atheism is you worship yourself. And let's all be honest, it's kind of easy to worship yourself. We're real concerned with everything about us. Or you turn and make up another God. We see it all throughout. So here's what the Gentiles did. This is what the Jews hated. One of the things they loathed about the Gentiles is the gods they worshipped. The Philistines worshipped Dagon. The Moabites worshipped Chemosh. The Ammonites worshipped Molech. The Canaanites worshipped Baal and Asherah. The Egyptians had numerous gods. The Babylonians worshipped Marduk and the other gods. And then the Greeks had so many gods that they even created, just in case we skipped one over or missed him, we created the statue to the unknown God so that that could cover all if we just missed and didn't have enough. And Paul wisely used that as a gospel tool. That, man, that's brilliant. Power of the Holy Spirit. But that's what they hated. That's the gods they turned to. That's what they had hope in. Hopelessness. They were no more valuable than the time it took to form whatever they were. Paul commands the now believing Ephesians to remember that they were separate from Christ. Remember when they did not believe in John 14, 6, that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and that no one comes to the Father but through Him. He wanted them to remember the time that Romans 10, 9 did not apply, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, that you will be saved. He wanted them to remember those times so that they could appreciate the times that they had followed both of them. Every believer, me included, should continue to remember that they were once separated from Christ. Remember when you served yourself or you served other gods. Remember when you were bent on only disobeying God and running from Him in the opposite direction in His commandments. Remember when you lived a hopeless and truly purposeless life. The only life that has purpose is the life that God has created you for to walk in. That's it. I'm not saying the other parts can't be fun. I'm not saying that you can't spend a ton of time. I'm not saying all that's true. But real purpose is only found in God and what He's created you for. Let us remember these times and evaluate our union with Christ today and be thankful towards God for not keeping us separate, but uniting us with Christ through belief and faith. And because that's true, and because we've experienced both the separation and now experience the union, allow that to motivate us to share it with others so that they can hear the Word of God and also be saved and no longer be separate from Christ, but be united with Him. The third time we must remember is when you did not have the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Paul transitions from speaking about the Ephesians' past to speaking about their present. Now, today, this moment, this second in Christ Jesus. Paul wants them to remember two things, that they were formerly far off from God and His promised Messiah. But they are now close to Christ for one reason, one vehicle, one method, one element has brought them close to Christ. And what is it? Jesus' blood, Jesus' sacrifice is what has brought and allowed every believer to be close to Christ. It's not the works that you did. I heard a testimony this week. And I don't know if this will speak to anybody in here today, but I've heard it a lot of times. It's worth remembering that a gentleman knew I'm going to throw around the term saved. This gentleman knew that he had never truly believed and confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He'd gone to church. His family had gone to church. His family had professed. His family claimed belief. They'd been baptized. He had gone with them. He had been in the church. He had gone on the trips. He had done all the things. But he had gotten to the age of 18. He knew that he had never made his own personal commitment. You know, I can't make a commitment for my children. I can't believe for Virginia. I can't believe for Lindley. I can't believe for Madeline. I can't believe for back. I can only believe for me. His family could not believe for him. He was outside of it. And the preacher came to him, and he said he was real convicted. He had gone to a revival reluctantly. And the preacher came to him and said, well, you're really dealing with something. I mean, you're struggling. You saved. He's like, nah, I've never done it. Well, you need to get saved. He said, yeah, I know I need to get saved, but I've got to get my life right first. I understand that. It's like, I'm not going to play for the baseball team until I take some batting practice. I'm not going to try out for the basketball team until I can kind of get some shots in and improve. That works in the earthly realm. That does not, cannot, will not ever work in a relationship with Jesus Christ. The problem why he never would get there, he never would be able to eliminate those things for his life, is because he's not capable. Just like you are not capable. I am not capable. It takes the power of Jesus Christ. It takes the power of His blood. It takes the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to come inside of you to do any good work. When you come to Jesus, you bring nothing. He's not expecting anything. He knows. He just wants you to submit and surrender and believe, and then He'll take away that little thing that you've been struggling with. He'll change this part of your life. He'll rearrange this setting that you keep failing in. If you came in here today thinking, you know, it's about that time. I may die soon. I need to get my life right and get saved. You do need to get saved, and you do need to get your life right, but you need to get saved first and then let God get your life right. I hope that spoke to somebody today. I don't know. That was powerful hearing that man's testimony. And by the way, just to follow up, close the loop on that, he didn't wait. He got saved that night, and he said in all those things that he wanted to do and get right, he said God worked it out and took care of every bit of it. Something he had been struggling to do his whole. So anyway, I digress. The atoning and forgiving blood of Christ alone washes away sin and our disbelief. How do we know that? Three verses. Ephesians 1:7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The blood. One more example, in case you needed it. Romans 5:9. Much more then, having now been justified by, can you guess, His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. Sin is washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ alone. Paul knew how critical it is to remember our unbelieving and unforgiven lives, because we all have been there. Paul knew that it was important to remember our believing and receiving the blood of Jesus Christ. Also important to remember. But we need to always remember every single day that our nearness to Christ, our nearness to God, is made possible through Jesus Christ alone. We all would do well to remember the time before we believed and asked Jesus for forgiveness. We do not do well to dwell there and wallow in our shame and guilt. That's not what I'm saying. I need you to always remember how terrible you were. Every day I need you to wake up and go, man, yeah, I was terrible. I couldn't do nothing right. I was doing all these things wrong, so that you can stay down there and be ineffective. If you've been delivered from that, you're moving on. It's time to live in freedom. It's time to live in the power of God. But we need to always remember so that we don't get to boasting. You know, Paul mentions in another part, he says, you know, not looking back, I move forward. But he's not talking about in that verse not looking back at what God's done for me. He's talking about not looking back at what I've accomplished through the power of the Holy Spirit and resting on my laurels. Not looking back and going, well, I preached this last Sunday, I'm good for the next four. I mean, I did my part. Look at that. Y'all remember? It's even on video. Or, I served the church last month. It's somebody else's turn. You remember that time that I did this? We don't rest upon the good things that we did. We keep moving. We don't forget. We experience the joy, the goodness of all those good things that we do through the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't dwell on those so that we can keep moving forward. We also don't dwell on what we couldn't do either, but we need to always remember it so that we can give thanks for what God has shown us and where He's carried us. Jeffrey, you and the team can come up. So I leave you with a series of questions to work through just personally. As we go into Thanksgiving this week, this Thursday, how thankful are you about being united to God through belief in Jesus and the reception of His blood? How thankful are you? I know this is a Baptist church, and typically in Baptist churches, we try not to get too excited. We try not to say, talk too loud or cause a commotion or stir. But I hope you're thankful for what God's done for you. Can I get an amen? I love amen. Amen. Are we thankful this morning of what God has done and what God has delivered us from? Amen. Couldn't do it by yourself. God did it. All we had to do was receive it. That's pretty good. That's a good deal. As we close today, remembering Thanksgiving, are you willing to sing praises to Him as we close this service? Are you willing to stand up? I don't even know what they have prepared. Are you willing to sing out? Sing for God? Praise Him with your voice? Are you willing to do that in a little bit of Thanksgiving? It's an immediate application. You say, I don't sing, preacher. Okay. Are you willing to pray right now and thank God for what He's done for you? Maybe you ain't talked to Him in a while. Maybe you ain't prayed in a long time. But you remember today how much you have to be thankful for. Maybe during this time that's what you need to be doing, is just praying and thanking God for all that He's done and all the amazing things in your life that you don't deserve. Maybe. Are you willing to recommit to God? Say, no, this is thinking back on what He's done for me. I need to recommit. I need to make Him a priority in my life. Maybe you got a calling on your life that you're dealing with. God's called you to something that you just can't see that how you can do it. Well, congratulations. You're never going to see how you can do it. You got to start looking higher. How's God going to do it? Maybe you'll commit to Him today. Maybe He's calling you to it. Lastly, would you like to give your life to Jesus Christ and be able to look back and see what He's done for you, as opposed to being in the middle of it, still in the sin, still in the disbelief, still in the agony, nothing to be thankful for? You don't have to live here. God calls us to live over here, where you can be in the life for Him and be able to look back and go, thank you, God, for delivering me from that. I'm over here only because of Him. If today you want to do that, you want to learn more about that, I'll be down front. Any other decision, anything you need to do, if you would please stand, now's the time to respond.